But I want to start off by saying, first of all, how are you guys? How are you guys doing mentally, physically? As Black people, a lot of times when all these things are happening, we don't kind of stop and check our psyche and how we're doing upstairs, and just make sure that, because I mean, this shit has to be traumatic. Opening the TV and seeing people that look like you, being haunted. Especially now that everybody's bringing different things to light, and we're just seeing it constantly over and over and over again on your feed. And like at some point, it gets really exhausting mentally. So I just want to check in with you guys. How are you guys doing?
So I would say I'm as okay as I can be. Definitely it has been traumatizing in the past couple of days, watching everything going on TV and still somehow required to function, maybe even at work. And I did remember like a coworker reaching out to me to see how I was doing and how he could help. So I did appreciate that. But I remember telling him that I was very glad that we don't have to be in the office because of the COVID, because things like this happen, and when they happen, like back when it was Eric Garner, we were still required to go to work, and as a Black man in a professional environment, you still have to like maintain some type of professionalism, even while all this stuff is going on, and you can't kind of like your mood will obviously be off. And I don't know if everyone else in the room can read that, but you can't kind of like, you don't want to be moody, you don't want to, just appear uninterested in whatever is going on. Like, you still have to say yes or be, smile, be all smiles, at meetings or when they invite you to lunch and other kind of things. So definitely I am glad that I don't have to go to the office. So I would say I am okay. I do have a good network, a network of friends and support system. So that has kind of like kept me sane, to the extent. And I've seen the result of some of these protests, right? I mean, some changes are happening all over the cities, all over the states in America, and even outside America. Many countries are also rallying with us to support us, and we also fight for injustice in their own areas. So that is definitely inspiring to see that, we can all come together to actually fight against whatever injustice, we're going through. So yeah, that's it for me.
How am I doing? I'm okay. That's all I can say. Very far. At first, I wasn't okay because somehow, I know I was relying on the news until I realized the news wasn't really covering what was going on like that. They were just trying to push a different narrative, And after doing my own research, figuring out that news is basically owned by people that are not supporting the cause, I basically checked out of that situation. So I'm kind of relying on social media. But the disadvantage of that is that it's kind of depressing. All of us on this platform now are all Black. So somehow, even if you don't know who is affected by this, I don't want to say that because, yes, we're all affected by this, I would say it's quite depressing. On a normal day, when I drive outside, I'm normally careful, but now I'm like extra cautious. Because, I mean, we all know that police doesn't want to pull anybody over because of COVID and. But with everything going on, it's still a Black man in America right now. And that's an international Black man. There are levels to the stereotype and the racism when it comes to, different caliber of people in this country. But yeah, like I said, I mean, if someone reached out to you at your job, no one reached out to me at my job. And no one, the whole office, they're not addressing nothing. And I don't want to talk about that because that one is their business. Just pay me. I'm more focused about the changes that are coming into place because we can tell that the protests and everything that's going on is not a waste. People are there are reforms coming through, and I think there's still a long way to go because not just by painting the roads, Black Lives Matters, they can do better. But personally, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not okay. It's just my support system that's keeping me alive and keeping me sane, most importantly. But the only good thing that's come out of this whole quarantine, not related to the protest or anything, is the fact that I've been closer to family. you know, doing a lot of video call and stuff for people that I haven't really been talking to in a while, which I'll say the only advantage or merit that came out of this situation pre-George Floyd is the connection I've rekindled with people that I'm really close with. You know, other than that, with the whole George Floyd situation going on, like, trust me, it's not a time to be shining teeth in America as a black man. You know how you walk down the street and a white person sees you and they try to smoke? It's not a time for that. You know, except just for the cause. That's really all I have to say. But I'm trying to stay sane, you know? That's all I can do for now.
My brother, you know, fix yourself, man.
I'll come up. Like,
I don't know what to do. Bro, you just gotta keep me pushing, keep me moving, bro.
For me, like, there's too much toxic content out there. Like, you see videos of, oh, this guy was racist to me, or this cop was beating this guy. Like, I know, like, I used to try to, like, just watch every video, like, especially when they're showing, like, police brutality from the protests, like, how police are treating peaceful protesters and stuff. But, like, I just realized that thing just got me angrier, and like it was too toxic for me. So like I just stopped watching all that, and even I'd go watch some Fox News, go like see comments of like, because like even all those current videos we see out there, like you'd be surprised, you go through comments and you see people justifying all that stuff. And like,
yeah.
So, like, I always go through comments to see, like, everyone's view. Like, is he, like, 100% everyone is like, yeah, this is messed up? Or do we have people defending? And I see quite a lot of people still defending it. And it just used to rub me up differently. So, like, just to protect myself, honestly, like, I started muting a lot of conversations on Twitter. Just of going through, like, different, like, police brutality videos, and like I muted Trump, I muted Fox News, like, if you know they're I muted Trump, and like, because you just see Donald Trump like trending for no reason, and then I'd go through the trends and like I'll see people supporting him, I'll see all his tweets, I'm like, bro, really? So like I'm just gonna mute this guy, block him, protect my peace, honestly, because I've been overwhelmed this past few weeks, because like honestly, you think after seeing that George Floyd video and the Ahmed video, like a lot of people, or like at least 99% of people, would be like, that's messed up. But there's actually a lot of people that still try to justify it, and people saying, oh, you know, the police is this. I'm like, it's just getting me too upset. It's unnecessary stress on me, so I'm not even going to engage in that. Like, I just try to read positive posts. I try to just post positive stuff, honestly. That's me personally.
Well, for me, this quarantine period has been, it's been a lot of mixed emotions, man. Like, in a lot of different arrays for me, from school to family to work, and just in general, the society. It's always amazing to know how a lot of people can be oblivious to a lot of things. Even with situations that concern them, people tend to, I know we're all human beings and we're selfish, but, it's just very sad to see a lot of times. And I feel like, you know, when it comes to the whole protesting and everything, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a good step forward. But at the same time, I'm not really looking at what people just did right now. Okay, for the first time in probably American history, all 50 states and even the world, you know, on a very global scale, has united to support Black Lives Matter. Whatever ulterior motives that other people may have, apart from Black people, I don't know. If they're really truly in support, I question that, because to be honest, there's been times a lot of things that happen to us Black folks, and you know, people just see that as a way to kind of make themselves known. Not really that they're in support of things, but just for that momentary, you know, spotlight, they will want to take advantage of it. I just want to see how people actually, you know, step forward with everything going on, because a lot hit us in the last 3 months, man. Like, everybody went through some type of, you know, traumatic experience. Like, no person is going to remain the same. But there's still those who are oblivious, and you know who they are. but I just want to see how we as a community actually unite. And that's what I look forward to. But right now, I don't have a say in that to say that, oh, this is good, because many of our people before us have also tried in their own way to create something, and they have made us progress rather than, you know, where we were all those years ago. But, and we have done better all these times. Yes, we could have. But now an event has occurred that triggered something, a movement that nobody has seen before. To me, if I open my mouth to say yes, you know, I didn't move with this thing, I want to actually see how it works amongst us, as we're saying, with our community, where, you know, us as brothers, how we uplift one another, what we all do in our community. I actually want to see that, because if not, then all of this is for nuts, man. That means everything will always be the same. And it just comes down to us as individuals, or those who understand what it is that needs to be done to actually unite to do it. And, you know, see how it goes. But yeah, that's just it, man. For me.
How I'm trying to stay sane is, you know, listen to good music and at least play FIFA. Play online FIFA.
Yeah.
Just try to make, you know, like communicate with other people and you know, just try to be,
up on 2K.
Right. So that's pretty much, and social media too. But I mean, social media gets your own, you know, cons and pros. Like sometimes you see some, you know, tweets or posts we can make you guess, we go you think about which characters basically think, but pretty much it's, and yeah, they smoke my hookah too, you know.
Yeah.
Always the vibe, man. Just chill. Just drink wine, smoke hookah.
You can't call my key yourself. You can't call my key yourself.
I don't know what else. It's not what we'll come out, man. Because they,
bro,
they have, you know,
they inside, dude.
Change the scene to look similar to outside. That's what I do. I try to just recreate the vibes and, you know, just chill. Yeah.
We talk to you, we never even suffer when I finish. They can't give us another bad news.
I promise. It's just left to that.
Yeah. I mean, I resonate with a lot of like what most of you have said. For me, it's just been a lot of mixed emotions throughout. I mean, I don't get me wrong, it hasn't definitely been all bad. Like, it was definitely overwhelming coming out of Corona and straight into something that is probably even more serious, actually, definitely.
Actually,
I mean, it depends on how you look at it, Sha. At least Corona, that can be a cure, but shit. And no drug can take to cure your racism, bro. But minus that, dude, I've never seen this much conscious effort towards bringing about like change that will actually make an impact since I've been in America and seen countless like protests and Black Lives Matter movements spring up. But at the same time, it's just really, really exhausting to every time I open Instagram, it's another video of another Black person being killed, you know. And what's even worse is that, like a lot of you have seen, like going into the comment section and seeing people like still finding ways to justify what is definitely murder. Like, I've just found it very difficult wrapping my head around it, and it just made me lose a lot of trust in, you know, in the people that I see every day that I thought, oh, like last, like, you know what I'm saying, this person actually cares enough about me as just a human being. But if you can see someone that looks like me, like, get killed for literally no reason, and you find a way to justify it, like, what if it's me up there one day? Like, you know, you go justify someone killing me in cold blood, you know what I'm saying? Like, and what is even worse is that, at least with the white people, we know that they are racist, and we, you know, we know that this is something that they passed down. So we don't really, let me not say we understand it, but we expect it from at least some of them. But when you now take, you know, those same instances and you show it to African people, and they too are justifying those like type of behaviors, and it's like, bro, how can you look at this video? And the only thing you have to tell me is, oh, why is he resisting? Why can't he just do as he's doing? Why was he wearing a hoodie? Why can't they dress well? Like, if they stop you, please don't resist. Like, you know, like, continuously, it's almost as if they are choosing not to acknowledge it, and it's so frustrating.
Can I say something to that real quick? Because I know this is a lot of time. I think that thing is just honestly nice. Like, I know I ran into a post today, right? This post was from a Nigerian guy. It's one of those Insta blog type of accounts, but it's not like they don't have as many followers and they're not verified. and this guy posted a picture of like a lot of monkeys. So they pretty much put bananas on the floor, like a lot of bananas, right? And like monkeys were just coming out, birds grabbing bananas, going in and whatever, till the bananas finished. And the capture for that video posted on Instagram by this Nigerian guy was, "This is how the looters look." You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so,
that guy, I was going through the comments. That guy wasn't getting a lot of backlash because it was also Nigerians commenting. They were just laughing.
Yeah, his crazy audience, exactly. But
if that was a white person that posted that,
bro, we're going to be on like, their ass.
Oh, you're racist. You're this, yes. You're that. That
we're going to make sure they lose their job. We're going to call their fucking job. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, the way Africans are reacting to this, and, you know, there's a lot of them that believe that, you know, if you act a certain way, or, you know, you show respect, or, you know, you don't do certain things, or you don't dress a certain way, then you can escape some of this, like, police brutality that we have been complaining about. And, you know, what they fail to realize is that it happens so often and to so many people that that is just not valid. And all of us being African, I'm sure we can attest to that. The fact that, you know, it doesn't really matter how much home training you have, or how much you respect these cubs, that they're still going to show you that, they're still going to show you how they feel about you when they meet you. And, you know, I just wanted to give an opportunity for you guys to go around and share some of your personal experiences with the 12, with the 1-2.
Mine is not really, I would say it's not that crazy, but I know the crazy thing about it is because, like Timmy said earlier, when we're talking about the whole experience thing, when you are in Nigeria, you don't know much about this country. You only know what they feed you off the media.
Right.
And it's only limited. Coming here, being here is different from watching from afar. So I think I came January, 2015. And CJ happens to be one of my guys that we went to boarding house together. He came to Nigeria for 1 year. One of those things where they send, you know, Nigerian-American parents send their kids back to punish them. So they sent him back for 1 year. That's how I knew the guy. He became one of my very close friends today. So it just so happened that I went to Towson and he was in Towson. So it just like, was not planned, just coincidence. So my guy can pick me up from the house now. Let's just link up. Let's just catch up. After he seen me one time. So we were going to the apartment in Cockeysville from like Fairways at Towson. And it was me, him, Chuku, and one other guy in the car. And this was winter. It was cold as fuck. So obviously, you know, we're wearing hoodies. I mean, I like black. Most of them wearing black actually. And CJ has this thing where he does, like, he tries to drive with his knees and hit that shit. Where he just feels like he always wants to navigate with his knees. And he doesn't know how to, he drives like a madman, personally. That's my own opinion. But he wasn't driving crazy that day. He just would navigate with his knees. So I guess we can say he swerved a little. And we didn't know the police was behind us. So all we know is that they pulled us over. Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering, like, what the fuck is happening? I just came to this country. It was in the airport. Yeah, they pulled us over, made all of us come out from the car. After I explained to us that, so because he was obviously asking why they pulled us over, and the guy said he swerved. But is that swerve, you know, that they made us sit on the sidewalk in the cold, and before I knew it, the guy, helicopter was hovering over our heads. Yeah, I'm asking myself, is it because of this webinar that he did? And, you know, Chuku was studying criminal justice at Towson then, so we were just trying to make everyone comply because, bruh, it wasn't a good experience, bruh. I actually went there for at least 30 to 45 minutes just sitting and no one was explaining anything to us. All I knew was like 2-3 more cop cars and helicopter was just...
Helicopter, Jesus Christ.
Covering a shining light over our like the car and our heads.
Because you swerve, they bring the car.
But I guess to their own point, it's like you're seeing four black guys in a car with hoodies, and it's like something suspicious. So that whole time, I was sitting on the sidewalk, they were searching the cars, doing whatever they said they wanted to do. Meanwhile, the whole reason why we were pulled over in the first place had nothing to do with all that extra stuff.
Before you know it, they're going to plant marijuana, you can't tell you.
Luckily for us, we after like an hour, they let us go. I think they gave him a warning or they gave him a ticket. I don't know what the hell they did. But the whole time, the good thing is that no one was insulting anyone. No one was trying to, I don't know, you know, spark something from them because I felt like they were already doing too much. So it wasn't everyone's best interest to just comply. But yeah, after that, man, any other experience I had was just a personal one, like being pulled over for maybe driving too fast, and it wasn't as unnecessary as the others thought. It was definitely extra, always extra. It's like when they pull you over, even if they tell you what the reason is, they always have something in mind that they want to just show themselves with. They will try and like poke you so that they'll see if you're the type to, like, you know. So that's my own experience.
Bro, feel you.
I guess I could go. We kind of talked about this a little bit before when we were venting the last time, but you know, what year was this? 2016 or 2017? 17, right? We were in Sao Padre. We were going to Sao Padre for spring break. And the way Sao Padre Island is set up is like, at that time, I think all direct flights into Sao Padre were like in millions of dollars. So we had to first fly into Dallas and then drive from Dallas to Sao Padre. And Sao Padre and Dallas are the same things as well, but to drive from Dallas to Sao Padre is like 10 hours. Imagine they go out that country, I promise you. But yeah, we were driving, you know, at this point we were like, and Sao Padre is in the south, like it's close to like the Mexican border. So, you know, you already know at least we did that side, at least that curves that deep. We were like an hour from the island, right? Maybe an hour and a half. And Larry was the one driving at this point, and he was probably going, because they have high speed limits. So I think he was probably going like 85 on a 70, like something like that. It couldn't have been more than 89. It couldn't have been. Because I remember, like, when they finally told us, I was like, is that why they did all this? But he was going, let's just say he was going 89, pata pata, last. But the guy pulled us over, looked into the car, looked at the back, saw one black boy in the back, one black boy in the driver's seat, one black boy in the passenger seat. It was me lying and slam. Can I see license and registration, please? My man is like, I'm the same boy that he is. He might pull out my license now. As he literally bent down to pick it. I saw my police guy pull hand for whistle, ready to draw. Like I said, no, sir, I just want to get my license. Bro, I was at the back looking at this nigga. I was like, I promise you, my life flies before my eyes. Because, bro, all it took was a split second for him to decide that Larry was about to pull a gun on him. Literally. And here's the one that asked for license and registration, right? You pull those over for going 80-something on a 70, fine. I'm going over a little bit over the speed limit. Do you know that these people, within 2 minutes, a second car had arrived. One of them had taken Larry to the front to interview him. The second guy had taken Sam to the back to go interview him. And I was sitting in the back of the car watching all this play out. Long story short, the man, even after we begged him and explained to him that we were coming from far and wide, the man still made sure to give us a ticket to stress our life and make sure that before we leave Texas, we must go to court and figure that shit out. But I mean, we thank God that nothing more serious than that happened. But like for a good 5 seconds there, man, I nearly pissed my pants. I swear.
Yeah. That's funny because that's not even like, I'll say that's probably one of my worst experiences, but it just goes to show that even being here, I don't think I've lived here more than 10 years, and you know, that's one of the experiences I've had. To now imagine like someone that was like raised here, that has family here, that has brothers and parents, you can imagine the kind of like experiences that they have all had collectively, you know, to make them not even trust the police at all. So I think I'll just go next and say that, like, I remember when I first got here, my sister was always telling me about, you know, if you're in the car with more than 2-3 black guys, like you have to be careful and stuff like that. And I remember I didn't even understand what that meant. Like, I'm like, man, we're just chilling. I mean, you know, I'm not going to be in the car with like drug dealers or anything like that anyway. Like, so I don't know what she was tripping for. So it wasn't until like I stayed here long enough to see what she actually meant, you know, how police treat black folk here. Regardless of if you're African or not, you know, like I also came here with that mentality of like, oh no, you can just really behave yourself and I'm fine, you'll be all good. But just being here, I just saw that, like, yeah, the police is definitely against black people. And, you know, no matter how you're dressed, no matter what qualifications you have, if you're a doctor, engineer, it doesn't matter. Like, they still see you as a black man and they'll do whatever they have, whatever they want, right? So the experience I had was, this was back at undergrad.
I remember going to buy food with two of my friends in the car. And we were driving. It was maybe late at night, maybe about 8:30 max. And I remember, like, you know, being pulled over because of a broken taillight, I believe. That was why he pulled me over. But then this guy came up to me, and then he asked for my license and registration, and I gave that to him. And then before you know it, two more cop cars pulled over. And so it was like maybe three cops circling around the vehicle, having their flashlights on me, like from the back. And one of them asking me, oh, I think I pulled you over before. And I'm looking at this guy like, this is my first time. Like, I don't even know you like that. So, I mean, it was very funny because it was later that my friends in the car tell me how, like, I was agitated, right? And I don't feel like I ever get agitated like that. But I remember that when one of the cops was asking me questions, it was just very, there were questions that were probably, you know, meant to rile me up, you know, because, like, you're asking me, like, you know, do you have marijuana in the car? Do you have any illegal substance in the car? Do you have any guns in the car? And I'm looking like, and that's where, like, everything just came together in my head of how I'm always seeing on the news or on social media how black men are instigated, you know, when they have encounters with police officers, and then it ends up going sideways. And it's like, these niggas just come in, like, they just say shit to rile you up, and they try to instigate and escalate the situation. I'm looking like, how do you pull me over for a broken tail light? And then the conversation is not about if I have any drugs or guns in the car. So, you know, that's when I think at that moment when he was asking those questions, like, all of that just came together. And my response, or my responses were not even, I didn't realize how I was responding, but, like, I was angry. And I was like, I was just like, you know, why are you asking me this issue? You pulled me over for a broken tail light, you know? And then I'm going to just say that was, like, one of the experiences that I just felt like, you know, these niggas, right, they would just do whatever they can. And the way the other cops approached the car, it was like there was some type of, like, high school bully group. You know how those guys would come, and then they just, you know, this guy was just pointing his flashlight, like, hey, I think I pulled you over before. And I was just like, you know, and someone explained it really well that I posted on my IG the other day about how, like, you know, they need to be certain other qualified professions handling certain cases, because why did, you know, the way, and then I remember when they put me over, I'm like, yeah, that's actually true. Like, why did all those officers have to come to approach me because of my taillight? You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, you're pulling me over for a taillight. I mean, even if you're going to give me a ticket for that, like, now you're trying to escalate the situation to something that's not, you know, and that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like, you know, I don't know. And, you know, at first I was pushing for, like, police reform, but I've seen arguments of how, like, that has always, they've always said that was going to happen, but it didn't happen. Or, like, you know, they really just don't do it. They just tell you, oh, we're doing it, and then it doesn't happen. But defunding them is really a way for us to know that, yeah, for sure, these guys are not going to be doing the same thing that they did. Especially when you think of, like, Breonna Taylor that was killed in her house, you know, like, you just start reasoning, like, why would you approach, you know, and I don't want to speak too much on this, you know, I'm just going to end it here to say that, like, yeah, I feel like the system itself has been corrupted for a while, especially when you understand the history of how police started in America, and how for a long time, the majority of the people that entered the police force were members of the KKK. So you can imagine how much they've gotten away with not only harassing black people, but also doing whatever they can to basically oppress us. So definitely I'm open to any solutions that require that, you know, involves defunding them or, you know, just dismantling the whole system as a whole. So I'm just going to end it there.
Going back to my own issue, my personal experience with police, this one was funny because this is why I understand the whole racism and the whole KKK thing. But personally, I feel like it's like the police system itself. It's not really a black or white. I mean, obviously, there's racism involved. But I feel like the system was created to oppress black people specifically. You know what I mean? So even if you're a black police officer and you're a policeman, because of the way the system is, you will still oppress black people, if that makes sense to you guys. So, like, it's not about, oh, this just because this cop is white, that's why it's treating me that way. No. If it was a black cop, he'll probably treat you the same way. You know what I mean? Like, my own situation, I was in, picking up my parents from the airport. I was at the arrivals terminal. You know, you have to, like, park for a few minutes, then, or you have to go all the way around and stuff. So my parents were coming out, and I'm, like, parked there, got my hazard light on, I'm like about to pop the trunk to go help my parents out because they're already out. Next thing I know, this guy was African. It was actually Nigerian. A Nigerian officer comes to my window. It's like, hey, move. I'm like, oh, like I'm allowed to do this because like I'm not just waiting. My parents are right there. They're already walking to the car. Like, why would I go all the way around? And there was also traffic, so that would take me like 20 minutes, and they're already out. So I'm like, oh, they're already there. Like, I'm just gonna put them that stuff in the car. They'll get in, and I'm out. And this guy, like, next thing I know, this guy's like, if I don't move now, it's gonna blow my head off. I'm like, what? So me, I take my phone, man. I'm like, excuse me, sir. I'm recording you, sir. What did you say? Can you imagine? It was his white partner that said, oh, I'm sorry for that. He's just trying to say you should move. You don't have to go around. You can just move up a little bit. It was his white partner that had to say, I apologize for him. So like, I'm like, yeah, I know there's racism involved, but like, it's not just because that officer was white. People need to understand that when we say this is racism, we're not just saying, oh, just because this police officer is white is doing this to this black man. We're not saying black police officers don't do the same thing. The whole system is racist. So if you're Indian, if you're Asian, if you're black, and you're a police officer, because the whole system is racist, you would oppress black people. That's just the way me, I look at it. Because that guy was telling me it should be just because I said, yo, I'm not trying to move because my parents are out there. I
didn't, because he knows the kind of powers they have.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like once you know you're right and you're like, I don't have to do this. They get upset and they're like trying to show.
Not like being challenged at all.
Yeah, at all. Like once they tell you do this, they want you to just follow. Like, right. If you're a civilian just like me, you don't have more rights than me. You get what I'm saying? So like, I feel like
American guy, you know, pride themselves on you have this right and you have that right and freedom of speech and expression and press and all this freedom everywhere.
Right.
In every single system in this country, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I wanted to say something real quick to what you said.
Education, food, water, you name it, fashion, it don't matter. Them shits are going to oppress black people. But go ahead.
Dan. Yeah, so I remember, like he said, right, honestly, it's the whole system in general. It's not just like, oh, white police are treating black people black, because black people too, they're also inside the system and they're still treating their own people bad. And I remember experience. So this was around the summer of 2014. These two guys, they just saw us and blocked us off. And this was what happened to us. We were basically robbed, you know. My car got robbed. So when everything happened, we ran upstairs. You know, we told these people. Then we went down to the police station that was close by. Over there by Fawaz, the outside, is like a police station over there. So we went there and we reported the incident. But it's good. It's crazy to know how, like, even within the black society, when certain crimes and things happen, they really don't care, because we came there explaining to them what just happened to us, and nobody did anything. According to them, there was nothing that they can do. They did not show any sign. We never got a police report to even begin with. And mind you, this station is a black police station. It's all for the commissioner was black. Everybody there was black. There was not a single white person, bro. You're in Baltimore County, like downtown right here. So like, that also goes to show, like, it's the whole system. It's not just about, oh, you know, white people did do this or white supremacists or anything. Like, just in general, there's a lot of corrupt people. And some of them just don't care. Some of them have probably been rooted into that system. And it's kind of sad to see that, you know, certain things can happen to your fellow black person. I guess that's why they say police don't care. Not just like the white in general, how they are present, but even the black people within that system too. They don't care or feel any type of, you know, emotion when certain things happen to their own kind, which is very, very sad and very unsettling. Because the same thing happened to Albert, and nothing happened to him too, even when he went to go report his own situation like 2 weeks later. So that's just very sad. The whole system is messed up.
That's a good point. But what I wanted to point out is the fact that yes, the system is racist, right? And everything is rooted into racism. The black people that you see that get into these positions are people that conform with that racism and that oppression. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily that, like, you know, black people would just go in there. Like, the fact that you're black and you enter that position, you have to conform to that, you know, racist system for you to get that far. So the few good apples, maybe the few good black guys that have tried to get in to change the system, could never make it that far, you know, because you never, like, go as far as, like, okay, reporting your partner for doing something wrong, or trying to like correct the system from within, like you will not get promoted, you will not get like any benefits, like you know, your job will be a waste. So that's why, like, for any time you see like a black person in the police force, they don't necessarily, they are most likely not necessarily on your side. You know, these are people that conform to the racism. It goes back to slavery era. When
Larry, don't go down that rabbit hole. No, cut it there. Thank you. I think it's pretty clear that you know, Africans too are part of this plight. Are part of these fights actually for equality, for racial equality in America, based on you know the experience that a lot of us have been through, right? So once again, in the spirit of using our platform responsibly, I think we also should be striving to be part of the solution too, right? So my question to you guys now is how do us as Africans, or how do Africans in general, how can they engage in this fight against racism in an impactful manner, in a way that could actually yield results that matter? I could go first. Me personally, I think the first step is educating ourselves. I think Africans have a lot of learning to do in terms of what happened to the black people in America and why you know they are the way they are and why we fight for the stuff that we fight for. I think we also need to be investing in black businesses. As Africans, we tend to over worship anything that the white man produces and always place it as like superior product, as always place it as superior to whatever the black man does. So I think us putting our hard-earned money and dollar back into black businesses will kind of help us again start to see that you know all black people matter, right? And lastly, I think we need to start claiming black people. Currently, I think there's a lot of division in the black community between like Africans and African Americans because of I guess different cultures or ways of life. But the sooner we realize that we are all one black people and all one race and start to claim each other and look at each other as part of one community, the sooner we can progress in a meaningful way. Those are my 3 cents.
Yeah, me personally, I like what you said. Don't disagree with much of that at all. But personally, I feel like for me, it's kind of hard because me, like, I've been posting stuff, I've been using my platform responsibly. Like, this podcast, for example, 100% of our followers are black, you know what I mean? So, like, me going on this pod and talking about how racism isn't good, you shouldn't be racist, how to be better, like, that's not going to help a black person, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
like, what you really need to do is try to reach out to, like, me, I've reached out to my Asian friends, white friends, people I know that like aren't or black that probably don't understand why this is so serious for black people, and just try to educate them. Honestly, I feel like that's really how we can get this conversation going. Cause like, yeah, you can put Black Lives Matter, like most of my followers are black, so they already know Black Lives Matter, you know what I'm saying? So like it's not really doing much. But like if a white person that also has most of their followers post that same thing, then it's going to reach more white people than I can reach, you know what I mean? So I feel like what we really need to do is just, I mean, you have white friends, you have Asian friends that, I mean, they also consider people of color, but they might not understand what black people are going through, because I know Asian people still feel some of them feel like black people are playing the victim card, like they get racially profiled too, but they don't make a big deal out of it like black people are. So like, I feel like we do need to educate people like the outside of the black race. Honestly, I feel like that's the only thing we can do. Because all this Black Lives Matter thing, posting it on Twitter, to people that are all black, that already know Black Lives Matter, isn't doing anything, honestly. Like, yeah, you're just getting clout for yourself because everyone that's seeing your post knows Black Lives already matter. You know what I mean? So, like, that's the thing. It's always just trying to find a voice. Like, that's why if you can also make a collab with, like, other people, like I said, like, try to... I don't know how we can do this, but if we can reach out to like white people, try to have a conversation with them and try to like, you know what I'm saying, get the conversation going and let them understand our point of view. maybe that would help a lot of white people. That's just me, though.
I definitely agree with what you said, education. But under education, I would say the most important thing for Africans per se would be unity, right? Because we already know what the slave master mentality is, dividing your own people against each other. And if you can divide your own people, if they can't see reason amongst themselves, then they can't really see why you should be complaining about this and that, which is what most of our African people are going through right now. So I feel like unity is one of it. If we are unified, then we won't even need to say too much to require support from our own people before we even engage in other people. You know what I'm saying? And as much as we think that a lot of Africans know about the history of how slaves started and what people are really going through in this country, they don't, you know? Some of them, like, for example, now, even in Ghana, that they do this year of return thing where they take people to that place where they show them about the whole slavery thing. Only a few people know about that. There are kids that are born in Ghana today that don't even know that this is what happened in this country. You know, talking of kids that were born in America, you see the difference. It's a big shift. So unity definitely is one of them. Secondly, they need to educate themselves. We need to educate ourselves on African history, because there's some things that you know that have happened in the past. So open your eyes towards a lot of things that's going on now. You just see that it's the same thing in a different era and in different climates. So if you can understand those things, then you understand why some people are fighting for their rights. Because some people are probably back home thinking, ah, we did this offer. Why they got to complain, say, people are being racist? Meanwhile, even in our own country, with our own black people, they suffer more. I mean, you see the mentality. It's just that there's a big shift. So if people can understand that, it's not even about all that. It's just this person saying you guys are different because of your skin. And then you that have the same skin, you're not understanding what the problem is. Then you need to educate yourself, basically. When you educate yourself and you unify, it's just the same way most of these white people, in the midst of everything that's been obvious, like in front of you, you still stick with your white person, then you see the difference. It's like, you know it's wrong, but you don't want to come out and say it's wrong because they'll look at you as an outcast. That unity, we need it on truth. We need it for ourselves, black, African, whatever the case may be. As long as the pigment of your skin is black, then we need to unify. First of all, we need to educate ourselves. We need to start patronizing ourselves. And then I just feel like United we stand, we'll never fall, you know? So that's all I may have to say about this whole thing.
All right. I'll go next. So for me, everybody points aligned with each other. I just have a few points. So first of all, the first thing, as an African in America, if you really want to show support, is first of all, realizing that the benefit you're having here is not because you're African, but because you're black. So there are two different things, you're African and you're black. So that's the only reason why you're experiencing this benefit coming here, sitting down with a white person, is because of what they went through. So once you realize that and you understand, you know, this has been happening for a very long time, the racism and all that, because for the most part, you coming here, you definitely ignoring, because you don't know anything about them. They think maybe because of, they probably lack home training, that's the reason why it results in violence against the cops and all that, but it's way more than that. So once you start realizing that, or you're not being ignorant, you know, you didn't learn, you know what's happening, you can show assistance by, you know, unity. You can't be divided. You have to appreciate them. That's the way you can help them. Like, appreciate them. Appreciate the feel the struggle. Tell them, okay, I understand your struggle. Now it's not because of I'm African. Like, the first thing they see your skin color before you talk. That's what the first thing they see. So you have to, like, you know, it has to be unity. You have to join them with the struggle and fight with them. And another one, the Africans back home, the only way you can help them, because they don't really do that much, they can't really do that much, is just for them to, for you to educate them. Like, for me, each time I'm having conversation with my friends, like, they don't really understand. I'm sure you guys get the same message. Each time you talk about protests, you talk about, you know, what's happening here, they always think that, oh, it's because of the black as well. The only thing you can help them is by educating them, by telling them, like, yo, anything that happened to that guy can happen to me, even with my home training too. Same shit can still happen to me. So then you educate them, like, you know, help them, show them the way. Like, I mean, they really cannot do much. Like, I don't feel like, even though they protest in Niger, it's not really going to, you know, cause any, you know, help. It's going to help, but, like, you know what I'm saying? It's not really going to be of much help. But the only thing that can actually happen is for them to not be ignorant. Like, this is what is happening. You know, this is the reason why this is happening. It's not just because, oh, he said this.
like one thing about Nigerians, like they don't know that, like they can't exercise their right, basically. You know, whatever they tell you is, you know, whatever someone tells you above you, that's how you're gonna take it. They don't know, you know, their right. So if you can, you know, explain to them that this is what is happening, and it's not just because this person, they say this to this cop, or this is because of his actions. It's because of what the person feels, what the cop feels. That's the reason why this happened this way. So that's the only way I feel like you can help them. Because once they come here now, they're not going to come like you, they're ignorant. At least they don't get knowledge of how it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know how to tackle the problem. They know the right thing to do. Like, you know, then they come here, they're going to say, I'm black and I'm also African. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to join the struggle to help. So yeah, I think that's pretty much the way you can help, you know, fight this.
So, you guys already covered most of the good points, so that's good. So I don't have to talk too much. But I would just say that a lot of key parts of African history has been intentionally omitted from our curriculum in Nigeria. So there's a lot that we haven't learned. And even here too, there's a lot of history that African Americans have that white people intentionally omit from the curriculum. And that's why people are just finding out about, like, maybe the Tulsa, Black Wall Street and Tulsa and the Tulsa Massacre and things like that, right? So what I'll say is, for Africans, is like, they just need to go out of their way to educate themselves, to not conform to white supremacy, to appreciate Black and Black culture, and appreciate themselves too, because again, in Africa, we kind of, like, as Fortune said, we worship anything that is made from the white man, and we kind of like devalue anything that comes from a black man. And then, you know, that's kind of like, it's just how, I guess it, maybe it's another effect of colonialism and everything. So definitely they need to educate themselves. And one thing I would say too is that they need to not conform to the stereotypes that they're being fed by the media. You know, they need to understand that the same media that is showing Africa as a place filled with hurts and diseases to Americans is the same media that is showing Black people to them as being violent or being uneducated and just being very aggressive for no reason. So definitely we all have the responsibility to educate ourselves. And most importantly, because when Africans come here, everything that they benefit from America today is as a result of everything that African Americans have fought for.
I feel like for Africans, there's a lot of things. Actually, a lot of people in the world, but not being able to experience certain things, you cannot relate to it. Like we're all saying, when we were back home in Nigeria, you know, we see things on the news. We have our own issues and problems that we have going on in our country. So the things that these other people have going on here, we couldn't really see it. But coming here firsthand and gaining that experience has definitely shown us that, you know, it really has nothing to do with where you are. You know, we're all the same color. I think that's the biggest thing that everybody should bear in mind. It's not about being Black or African. We all have the same color. And because we all have that same color, there's no difference. Nothing is indifferent about that. And being able to know that, you know, we all have some sort of ancestry with one another too plays a huge role. So I believe that, you know, as Africans, we should, you know, model that, be able to understand that, know that there's not really a big difference between us and these people, and be able to show support, you know, and showing support to ourselves and showing support to them, you know, is a good thing to model, because at the end of the day, we're all we got, man. We're really all we got.
I feel like that's what America has really been using.
Because, yes, against us, yes.
Yeah, because like at the end of the day, you hear a lot of Africans say, oh, like, because I'm not black. I'm like, dude, have you seen your skin color? like Americans, like they are African Americans, the same way Asians that are born here are called Asian Americans. But we call American Black Americans Black, and we call Africans African.
Yes.
Black. But when we refer to Americans that are Black, we just say, oh, Black people. Africans, oh, Africans. Like, no.
Your point.
African Americans, and we are African. You know what I mean? Because we're all Black. We can't be saying black people, and not referring to ourselves when we are Black. Like,
right. isn't that the problem from the get-go?
That's what I'm saying. America has said that.
These white people, they just feel like they can label everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you, like, I was someone saying the other day, like, what the hell is African-American?
Exactly. I've seen an African on Twitter argue that he's not Black. because it's
that's the same shit. That's what I'm saying. It's labeling, and it's also people that label other things are.
They think white is your ethnicity, not your skin color. But black is your skin color. You are black, not. It doesn't
they say, oh, you're black. You're black. You're African. You're African American. You're Asian American. We are white. Every other person is white. We don't care whether you're European or at least you're white. But you, you're African American.
What is South Africa? White people in South Africa are white. They don't call their white Africans.
That's not what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
It's a mental thing. It's a very mental thing.
I don't stress it here. So what's their race? What's black? What's their race?
For me, I say you're black or you're white, man. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's great. You're white or you're black, but people will never.
So race should be based on your physical appearance.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, they started it with the pigment, the color of your pigment, right? Your skin, right?
Your eyes.
So it should be that way. But then they now want to go further and create categories just to separate.
So when you say ethnicity, ethnicity should be your
This is different. This is where you're from.
Yeah, where you're from.
Race is your color.
Color.
But now they're making. Now, if you go apply for a job, race is different. It's not white or black now. It's white, Latino, this like bro, like what?
Hispanic or Native American.
If we're having a conversation right now, and I say black people, automatically, you know, I'm talking about black Americans. Yeah. But it shouldn't be that way because
it shouldn't be that. Which is what I said from the beginning. What they started doing is using our mindset to separate us.
Right,
they'll use you to separate you from your own brother in your own home. And then internationally, when you come to another place, they make you feel like you guys are not the same.
Right. Yeah.
That's the same thing. But they want you to understand that all of us are all the same. Whether we're white people living in the bush or white people living in the mansion, we're all white. But you people, you're from Africa. And this, another funny thing, I was going to talk about this. Someone posed the question. They said, who named that continent Africa? Apparently, it was some white guy. One of them, colonial masters. Basically named everything. Even our whole country, Nigeria. You all know that's the story behind that.
Yeah, that's Nigeria. You know? Yeah. Even when we now enter into the problems that we're experiencing in Nigeria, right? Because in as much as, you know, we're over here and, you know, that this Black Lives Matter movement and we're kidding and stuff, like almost simultaneously, a very... A slightly different but very comparable movement was going on in Nigeria with the Justice for Uwa situation and some of the other rape victims that have kind of resurfaced over the past few weeks. And a lot of that too, you know, just to contribute to the overall, you know, argument, a lot of that division too is not just again born with the way the white people separated us, but also some of the systems that they introduced to us, right? Like religion, you understand? Like and just like the way society has, or at least the way we used to live back in the day, made it seem like the man was the woman was less valuable than man in society, right? And they couldn't ascend past certain roles or leadership positions. They had a specific type of role that they had in the family and in society. And you know, just view women as the helper to the man and in some cases, the servant, someone that is there to serve the man, where you have situations where one man can marry 16 women and it's like he's buying a new car. You understand? Basically, it's like property, you know, which is very, very similar to slavery in some ways, depending on how you look at it, where you have a woman who leave her father's house and go to a man that she's never met a lot of times at young ages of 14, 13, depending on where you are, so I'm 17, and live with them and is now forced to love this man and tend to his needs, whatever they are, and still be there. The man will come marry that woman and bring that woman into the same house and marry again and again. And now you have to now be competing with so many people for the time, love, and affection of somebody that was supposed to be your partner. You understand? So they didn't really address marriage as that partnership, but more so of a dictatorship in a way. And I feel like that has contributed a lot to why rape culture is... allowed or condoned in Nigeria. It's like it's not like they don't know that it's wrong, but because they historically we didn't really value women or like the plight of women or the oppression of women as something as serious as the oppression of man. So when
when those cases arose, they weren't treated with the same level of seriousness as if you had done something terrible to a man, or if you had robbed a man or killed someone he cares about. You understand? Like, they just were never brought that in that extent. That's why you have a lot of these cases coming up where it's like, and just like with the Black Lives Movement, these are just the ones that we've heard about. Imagine all the millions of cases.
Oh, we know there are millions.
Yeah, that we've like, imagine a place where a lot of women, multiple women can come out and see what this man raised me up, because he's a pastor, everybody will again try to justify heinous, demonic, and barbaric acts. All in the name of protecting a good name,
image,
showing respect, or living up to some archaic standard of living that doesn't even fly into this world. What do you guys feel causes something as horrible as rape to be tolerated in societies in Nigeria? Not just in Nigeria, in the West too, because it's not until recently that you're hearing all these situations and stories of people now coming out to expose all these popular people that have been raping people, Harvey Weinstein, R. Kelly, Jeffrey Epstein, like, you know, all those people that have been using their status in society as a man to oppress women. Like, and it happens for so long. Like, how do we get past this, guys? How do we stop raping our women?
In my own feel sense that I'm going to drop. It goes back to oppression and issues of power, right? As a man, I don't know who made people or men feel like they are superior to women. I don't understand how that happened. I mean, being that women at once are given to men or women. So I don't understand how that happened, but I know that's where the problem started. Feeling like you're superior to that person. This is the umbrella of majority of the problems that people are going through today. Racism, boom. White people feeling like they're superior to other human beings. Men feeling like they're superior to women. It's still the same problem. You know, how would you like feel like, and these are the same people that will still have daughters. You know what I'm saying? But then why it's so serious back home, and like in Africa and some other underdeveloped countries, because they, you know, when you have power and things are not working as they should in the country, you would not pay attention to certain things that will cause controversies or cause chaos or cause some kind of problem for yourself and some people. So if for example, in a country like Nigeria, this is as a case study now, where in the north, it's okay to marry 13-year-olds, 11-year-olds. Even in general, Nigeria, let's start with statistics. The age of consent in Nigeria is about 11 years old, 13 years old, if I'm not wrong. Don't quote me on this. So if people still have the mentality of it's okay to marry a teenager, a child, then where do you think they will start talking about, oh, this child is talking about, or this person raped me? Or even a grown-ass woman will talk about this person raped me. Who's ready to have that conversation when you're still marrying kids out? Kids that obviously do not want to marry to this person. You know, tradition is still set in such a way that it doesn't favor the women in general. So they don't have a voice. But I don't know, my brother. I think it goes back to education, man. You've seen the difference. Even in the developed world, you still experience these problems. I don't think eliminate problems from the world in general.
At least they are starting to speak up, right? Like, at least thank God for social media. Thank God for that. We can see all these things, though, because if not, people will just continue to suffer. And you know, as Nigeria did now, everything, your heart's going to be born. You will come outside, you smile with everybody.
Bro. That thing you just said now is a very common thing back home, because I don't know, these Africans feel like you can't show yourself to be weak.
Yeah.
We don't understand how that also affects, you know, you guys as an individual and as a family.
Yeah. It's bad. Honestly, until everybody comes and starts being accountable. You see what white people are doing here now, where they are coming and saying, yes, I'm responsible. This, even though it's corny, you know, you're seeing white cops like come and stand kneeling down in front of black people. My brain doesn't really, they make my brain tingle somehow, because it feels disingenuous to me somehow. But like, at least like, you're seeing people start to take ownership and respect and say, yes, like, this thing is, you know,
we did this and we're sorry, let's find a way to move forward. We're a very long way to go in Nigeria, because even a lot of this like sexual abuse that we're talking about is even more rampant inside families, when you have uncles and even fathers, cousins, like abusing their younger ones because they know they can't say anything. You know, no way, you cannot go and tell what you want to tell your mom, see that uncle Femi raped you. And you
because still, people are still,
and your mom will tell you to not tell anybody.
That and exactly to that point, anybody. Because people are still worried about things that are not relevant. And let me make my point. When I say things are not relevant, is they put respect over things that actually matter. Actually, for example, now, in that household now, which this is an example where that young girl is saying that uncle touched me, or uncle tried to do this, uncle actually did this. The mother or the father might not want to hear that. I want me one out of 10 household for the man to take action. Like, hey, why would you even try that with my daughter? For the most part, they're like, how would you even say that about your uncle? Exactly. Is he your mate?
Exactly. So
that you got that. Like, what? That are you hearing? Are you hearing the problem? So there's a lot of misplaced priorities in place before exactly. we even start tackling the issue. So there's a lot of work to be done, my brother.
Me personally, when I was a kid, right, I don't even know if we should share this, but I'll try and be as discreet. When I was a kid, one of some girls that used to live with us came and told me that one of my uncles did something terrible to her. And I swear I didn't know how to process it. Like, I was young, I was probably like 14 or something. And like, I mean, I we're close because she kind of lived with them. And then, like, one day I just saw her, like, I think it was during Christmas, like, she was really crying, and I was like, trying to console her, like, what happened, I think she didn't want to touch anyone. Eventually, I got her to tell me, and it was that one of my uncles had done this for nothing. I'm like, bro, I didn't even know what to tell. I didn't know if I had to go and report to this. Like, and this is somebody that we all regard as a very God-fearing person, and, like, you understand, like, a very, like, ginger. And you just hear that kind of thing. And then even later, I heard story that the girl was possessed. I don't know. So even to today, I can't even confirm if the story was real or not. But, you know, like, those kind of things happen, and they're real. And it's like, that girl, who's she going to tell? Somebody that they brought from another person's house to come and stay and be doing, like, kind of like house girl work, but not really a house girl. You know, those kind of setup. You know, I was come and talk, see your guy did this one and that one to you.
Slave master mentality does not apply to just white people. It's a mentality that can happen to white, green, black, anybody. And it goes on in Africa. They've caused that problem, and it's living there with full effect. It's living there with muscles. Where in a household where people have money, they treat other people like they're not shit. If you don't have money. Like, it's just, you know, who you are, who are you, who are you? Do you know who I am? Others, master mentality is already like in almost every household back home, from the village to the town to the city, wherever. It's just everyone feels like, and that, it goes back to that whole, I better pass my neighbor, I better pass you, who are you, you know, mm-hmm. you know who I am, all this nonsense. It's just, yeah. you know, it's something that we need to change in general. But I feel like most of these changes, I think they will definitely come with them. I want to call it a generational effect, where as the new people are born, people like us now, we're not on like 60. Obviously, you just have to face reality. People will die off, and then we'll not become the older ones. And obviously, if most of us have this mindset, which I'm hoping we do, it's going to be a different generation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then our kids and our kids' kids, just like the way we're seeing this whole thing going on in America now, where you see most of these kids, people think they're ignorant. But they're not ignorant. Their parents are not going to be the ones that are ignorant. But guess what? Their parents know what's going on, but they chose their path. Now, these kids are now, like, thinking, they're critical thinkers. You give birth to critical thinkers that are thinking, like, why are they actually being hated upon? Is it because they're black? You know, they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But now their parents know that, back in the days, we used to own slaves, and we had power, and it was good for us, and it favored us, blah, blah, blah. But these kids now are born to a society where they're like, bro, their best friends are black, Mexican, you know, they love people, they came to the Instagram life, Twitter life, where everyone, they're being social with everyone, or you fight everybody, but the problem is not your color. So it's going to be a different. There are people that are still trained in the household to be, you know, these things, but it's going to be a generational change.
And that culture, that Nigeria, like you're right, that generational change too, definitely, because even with us now, is this newer generation are the ones that are a little more outspoken about.
Yeah, exactly.
Just about changing Nigeria, because I'm going back again to that connection to what's happening in America, because that mentality that we complain about, or that reaction of Nigerians we're trying to justify, you know, the police brutality, goes back to that same
that mentality they have of, oh, when you're being oppressed, still enduring it and respecting your elders and people in power, instead of standing up for your rights and, you know, and trying to like and get what's yours, you know. But because I, this person get power, this person get anything what they do, maybe just the two, you know, maybe just the respect and they go. Yeah, so that's why that they can see a police officer blatantly, literally murdering someone, and they will still find ways to justify it because they're looking at the police officer as someone that has power and is mostly or always right in that situation. So if they're killing this person, they must be justified. You understand? Because I see them as above me.
So I'm going to just try to add this, just a minor detail to that. I would say that, again, as you said, the way Nigerians are set up or brought up, we think that we have to endure oppression. And another thing that we do so well is to victim blame. We always push, we always blame the victim instead of addressing the problem. So in the case of like how they reacted, a police manager and a black person, they would still victim blame and say, well, what was that black person doing? What was his history? Was he carrying a weapon? Did he break
the law?
But exactly.
What, so, that's got to do with this.
I want to learn on that. So when you now think about rape culture too, it's still the same effect that they use, or the same tactic they use of how somebody comes out to call out maybe sexual assault or rape, and you know, these people are now start asking questions of like, well, what was she wearing? What time was she out in the night? You know, all these things. So at least with us that are now educated, we know that these things don't mean anything. So for us to move forward, we have to start shifting, not necessarily shifting blame to the victim, but we have to start addressing the problem, which is the oppressor. So in terms of police brutality, we are addressing why the system is set up that way to oppress black people, you know, and Nigerians have to still follow that same method when addressing rape issues, right? The problem is never with the victim. The problem is always with the rapist. It's never the fault of the victim of whatever she was wearing or, you know, what she did and anything like that. You know, because even when you think about it, many of the cases that happen in Nigeria, it happens with underage girls, you know, within the ages of 10, 11, 12. So you cannot tell me that, you know, they were wearing some type of promiscuous clothing or anything like that. You know, so once Nigerians start to educate themselves in that realm where they start tackling the problem from the root of the problem and not necessarily attacking the victim, then we can move forward, you know, as a unit. And I'm just gonna like try to draw a correlation here, and maybe just even call out, you know, black men, for example, right? And what I'll say is, we as black men, right, the past couple of days, we've seen how people have been calling out white people and white privilege, right? We understand how white privilege works, right? We might have a friend that's white, and maybe he's not racist, but his friends probably use racial slurs, and you know, he's not maybe as involved and he probably doesn't do any shit like that, but he's also complicit because if he has friends that are racist and he's not calling them out or holding them accountable, then he's just as guilty. We saw that the past couple of days we'll be calling these people out, right? And I want to say that black men, we have the same responsibility as black men because we understand how white privilege works. So we have our own male privilege, if you think about it that way. Whereas we are complicit in some of the assault or harassment cases that some of our fellow brothers, you know, partaken. And when women complain and say this and that, we can't just ignore and be complicit, you know. So unless we are supporting these women in their issues against assault and harassment, the same way we're expecting the white people to hold their white friends accountable against racism, then we can be, you know, on a space where we can move forward together. Because that's really a key thing for me, whereas like, if you understand white privilege, there's no way you know how you shouldn't be able to understand any type of oppression, especially like when women complain about, you know, gender inequality. So those are the two parallels I'm trying to draw together. But
us as black people, like, we need to be holding our fellow black men and friends more accountable for our actions, because just the same way everybody is shouting for the other police officers in that George Floyd case to be arrested because they were there and they knew it was wrong and they didn't do anything. In the same case, if you're with your mans, you see your mans exhibiting rapey behavior, like, he's like, you know what's up, you've seen this like before, like, you know, step in, don't be afraid to challenge him and call him out and save that poor girl from whatever trauma.
I do agree with that. Like, that's actually a big part of it. I feel like we should all, as men, definitely just take control of situations. Like, if you're in the kickback house party, especially like that's one thing I know I used to do if I'm a host of a party. And I know I'm the one inviting these girls. I don't want a situation where I invite girls to my place for a house party and she now comes to me the next day that, oh, I came to your place for a party and this guy raped me, or you know what I mean? So, like, I always try to make sure, like, I call, if I'm seeing any shady stuff out there, I call you out, like, yo. And I also ask the girl to make sure, like, she's good, you know what I mean? Like, hey, are you good? Like, are you okay? If she's like, oh, I'm good, then I'm like, okay, she knows what she's doing. She's okay. But, like, I feel like that's what, like you said, men do more of, like, old people are accountable. And for me, I don't understand how you can be against racial injustice but not be against gender injustice, because it's the same thing. I also feel like we, like Africans, there's a lot that goes into why the rape culture in Africa is way worse than in America. I mean, rape culture is a problem everywhere in the world, even America. Like, there are people that always protest that too, you know what I mean? But I feel like it's prevalent in Africa because the way Africa is set up, like, I feel like they put religion first in a certain way, and before even basic human rights, you know what I mean? Like, the way the police feel like they have power over, or white people feel like they have power over black people just because of their race. I feel like pastors feel like they're immune to criticism, or people just think they're not men, you know what I mean? Because if you think your pastor is a human being, human beings make mistakes, you know what I mean? But, like, they think they're, like, gods that never make mistakes. So if a girl comes out and says, oh, the pastor raped me, and the pastor said, I'm a pastor, can I do that? That this girl is lying. They automatically believe the pastor. Why? Because as a pastor, can pastor do that? Not because, oh, we've gone through evidence and it just didn't add up. Just because their only reason for believing the pastor is because, it's a pastor, why would he lie? You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's something Nigerians and other Africans need to get over. Like, nobody is above the law. Like, and nobody is all, like, innocent. You know what I mean? Like, people do make mistakes, and we should be willing to call out that mistake. And also, that's also part of why you have, like, if a girl claims she was raped, they start talking about ours, right? Because, you know, how, like, sometimes Christians would be like, oh, religion is playing a big part in this, and it shouldn't be that way. Religion should actually help this cause, not harm it. And I feel like that's the issue, especially with Nigeria. They, like you guys said, they blame the victims, and they're like, oh, why did you wear this? Why were you there? Why were you in that situation? Why were you drinking? Like, the guy that raped that might have been drinking too. So why aren't you asking the guy why he was drinking, but you're asking the victim why were they drinking? You know what I mean? But yeah, I feel like the way we can solve this whole issue is more education. And also, we need to realize that Nigeria is backwards. Like, America, if you believe you've been raped and you go to the hospital and they do it, like, rape kits, like, they're more than likely to find the DNA of the guy. Honestly, I'm not going to say Nigeria doesn't have that because I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it's not easy. You can't easily get a rape kit in Nigeria as easily as you would in other countries. So that's all.
Before we even get to the rape kit itself, the doctor, the police officer, everybody that you try to complain and say, ain't even going to take you seriously before you even get to, okay.
No. But I mean, if there's rape kit and they don't take you seriously and you're like, okay, don't take me seriously, just do the rape kit. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong then. You get what I'm saying? At least, like, I feel like that's the issue. Americans are not different. Like, other countries are not different. Men are the same all over the world. But I feel like in America, like, once they do, okay, you're wrong, but it's law. They have to. If you come in and you say you've been raped, they have to do that. So they have no choice, even if they don't believe you. That's something we need to do in Africa and Nigeria especially. Like, put that law there where anyone comes, it's like crying wolf in 911. I can call 911 100 times a day for 20 years. The 21st year, if I prank call 911 again, they still have to pick up. They can't say, oh, we know this number. It's always prank calling. They have to, because it's the law. Because that 21st time, I'm actually be in danger. You know what I mean? So, like people try to hide under the, oh, women do this. Like, they know I have money, so they're just trying to extort money from me. And I'm like, okay, that could be true. But you can also do the rape kit. You can also believe the woman. Like, you have to believe everyone and act like she's not lying. Act like he is also not lying and prove the case. Don't just assume, oh, word of mouth. Like, and she looks like she's lying, so she's lying. or he's a pastor, so he can't be lying, so he's not guilty. So that we can make it more, you get what I'm saying, streamlined, because there's still going to be corruption, like you said, the Epstein case. They had three kids, they had everything, they still need arrested. But the way we can streamline it is, like in Nigeria, you don't have to be rich to get away with rape case. Anyone can get away with rape case in Nigeria. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? But we can streamline it a little bit by at least making rape kits more readily available, making better laws where you have to test any girl or any woman that like accuses anyone of rape, immediately find DNA, and also stop shaming them. That's one thing we need to stop doing. Because the more we shame them, the less they are willing to come out. And when they come out, it's already maybe years after, months after, where you can't even test them. So how do we know? You know what I mean? So that's what we need to work on in Africa, man.
At the end of the day, we all recognize, I mean, we know implicitly inside us, whether they do this protest or not, or whether they come out and do protests for raping, protest against rape rather in Nigeria, we know that inequality exists. We know it's existed from the beginning of time, and we know that it's not something that can just go away tomorrow, right? But I mean, I guess just to end this pod on a more positive note, you know, I'd just like to ask finally what we can do to be the change that we want to see in the world, right? Like, how do we embody that utopic civilization that we dream of, where men and women are equal, black and white are equal, Yoruba and Igbo and Hausa equal, and no one's life is more valuable than the other. You know, what do we do to get to that point?
To answer the question, I feel like first and foremost, we're talking about Africa. I think I'm just going to generalize Africa, America to the world, you know, especially Africa, because we're obviously lacking behind a lot of things. I think we need to put a lot of this more into perspective. People that feel like, you know, it happened to me, I don't care. Put it into perspective. What if it happens to your daughter? What if it happens to you, your household? What if it happens to your family member? Maybe that way you think about something different, you know? I feel like if you see that the damage already done in your generation, then the next generation, you should put an effort into educating them, you know? Make sure that your kids, your kids' kids, your nieces, your nephews, your relatives, the younger generation are more critical thinkers, you know? Because critical thinkers put a lot of things into perspective and they know how to be more rational, you know? Emotional intelligence is one of the ones that I feel like is very important. Learn how to treat people and it will come a long way. From your staff to your family members to people of the same color, just people in general. All those things come, they have their little parts to play. And when you see a bunch of people, 20 people in the room, and you see that you have 15 critical thinkers, 15 people that are emotionally intelligent, as compared to those 5 that are just ignorant, there's no way those 5 can overshadow the 15 people. Do you get what I'm saying? So if you have a generation where they possess most of these things, and even more than I know I'm not mentioning, then things will be better, you know?
No, Barry said it all, basically, or said most of it anyway, but I do feel like, so for me, one key quality that I definitely hold so dearly is empathy, right? I strongly believe that the world would be a better place if we all have empathy, right? Because I personally feel like the ability to be able to understand somebody's, like, situation without, you know, putting yourself in their shoes to kind of see where they're coming from or what they're going through, that would help you better understand their feelings and how you can help them or be a better sister, right? I feel like that's one step, you know, that can help you, you know, be a better advocate for that person, you know, and just help them get joining into like fighting the oppression that they're going through. And then like obviously listening to these people when they speak or when they talk. I personally feel like, I mean, I would hate that I just would never understand people that would only be able to relate with the situation if they've been through it, you know? Like, oh, I don't understand. Well, if police officers always pulled me over because I'm a white guy and I've been having problems, so I don't understand what these black people are talking about, you know? I definitely am always against, like, people not being able to understand other people's situations based on, like, what they've experienced. So in that same realm, like, I would say that, again, just empathy. Like, if you have that, I think, you know, the world would be
at least in, we'll be in a good place to start, and that would help us be better citizens. And if I were to divert to Nigeria, for example, I would say that with Nigeria and its problems, we have to start thinking for the collective and not necessarily the individual. So do things to benefit everyone else and not necessarily just yourself. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I believe, like Mari said, and also Barry, like, we do need to speak up whenever we hear anything. First and foremost, we need to learn, educate ourselves, try to understand where women are coming from. When you understand that, that's when you can actually see why, like, this is a serious issue for them. Like, me personally, I feel like I didn't even need a woman to understand why rape was terrible, personally. But, like, people that don't understand are in a situation where they still feel like, oh, no, like, she must have wanted it to, like, oh, I mean, you know why you came to my house in the first place at this time of the night at 2 a.m., like, and you were drunk. So, obviously, I thought, like, that's all BS to me. And also, if you hear your friends making fun of someone that got raped or talking about, joking about rape, like, call them out and they're like, yo, that's messed up. Like, you know what I mean? And that's what I think we should do about the rape case, like, see something, say something, honestly. Same thing with racism. So that's a different topic, honestly.
Yeah, so, I mean, no means no, and not sure means no, and no answer means no.
No, right, yeah, like...
I don't know means no. Maybe means no.
Right. Like, if you touch her and she moves your hand once, that's no.
Mixed signals means no.
Right, exactly. You're giving me it means no.
Yeah, so, I mean, in general.
Yes, but actually, maybe I changed my mind. No.
No, exactly. Yeah. Right. So, like, you say yes. You've done everything that you're about to have sex, and she's like, no. It doesn't matter.
In summary, men should just hold each other accountable and educate ourselves and listen. And that's it, basically.
And in terms of the issue of inequality that is in the world over, I think as a people, you know, the first step is to, you know, understand and accept that regardless of where you come from, what you look like, or what's in between your legs, we are all human beings first, period. I'm a human being. Oh, you're white, I'm a human being. Oh, you're a man, you're a woman, I'm a human being. I have life inside me. And that's the first thing anybody should consider, you know. And if we're all able to do that, then we can probably start to see the value in people more. Because we all have the undeniable right to be treated as a human being. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. See you, brethren. It's been real. I'm gonna catch you on the other side. Be safe out there. More love, more prosperity. Keep your sanity. And love your friends and family. Take care of your peace.